It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is Time Enough Podcast. Welcome to Time Enough Podcast. It's where we dive into all of the episodes of The Twilight Zone and beyond. This is Matt here. Over there is Luke, back again. How are you?
I'm back from the grave to give you advice on how to speak good.
Speaking good, yes, it's always good to do. Yeah, so did you get a comedy episode this time? I guess no, but... I don't know, it's a little bit silly, I guess, just when you have the ghost of Hitler showing up. Spoilers, if it wasn't that obvious.
I knew nothing about the episode going in, and as soon as the ghost appeared, I knew who it was.
See, I was going to ask, because on my Blu-ray, it's so, you know, since it's so well-defined, you can, like, see the hair distinctive haircut the first second he shows up.
Yeah, so I'm watching... copies of the episodes, which I think are ripped from the Blu-rays because they're pretty nice quality. And it had the same thing you were talking about, where suddenly in season four we have the station idents for some reason.
Yes, okay, so yeah.
That's what made me think, oh, I think these are the same as the Blu-rays. And there's a bit where he leans forward slightly and you can even see the mustache.
Right, because I remember not People Are Like All Over, The Eye of the Beholder, yeah, they kind of had that issue where maybe on an early 60s television. Well, that's the thing. I don't think this one was ever suspenseful, you know? I mean, again, I'm not saying it's a bad episode. Dennis Hopper's great in this, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think this is an incredible episode.
Yeah. But... Sorry, I'm coming a little hot, but yeah.
We're jumping very ahead.
True. Sometimes I like to jump straight to the end, but you know, when it's just, that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room, isn't it? When you throw in the Der Fruer. I'll do a little bit of trivia for this one. Original air date was January 24th, 1963. Script is a Serling. He loved the script. He had more sauce in his tank and considered stretching this out to a feature film. Specifically, he wanted to add a scene after the Hitler reveal, with Hitler saying something more, I guess, they couldn't fit into the episode. So he was like, okay, I'll make it into a movie, and wrote several other scenes, including like an FBI investigator or whatever, to stretch it out even more. But the budget wasn't there and it didn't happen. And I don't know if that would have been a good idea anyway. So,
yeah, I think it worked as a 45-minute episode. Like, if this had been done as a 25-minute episode, it would have had to move so fast. It would have been incredibly cheesy. Like, it would have felt like they were going for the twist on the Hitler thing.
Right.
Whereas here, it felt like everyone in the audience knows who that is. It's not really about the twist. It's about...
the guy. Which, apparently...
Well, it's about showing how, you know, this can happen anywhere.
Yes.
About the message.
Yes. Let me get to the next bit, I guess. Stuart Rosenberg directed. He's been The Zone before and also helmed Cool Hand
Luke.
Let
me stop you, Mr. Comagus. You must speak with confidence. You are the leader on this podcast. Stuart, you don't say, You're doing the next part.
Before and also helmed Cool Hand Luke and Amityville Horror. Have you seen Cool Hand Luke?
Man can eat 50 eggs.
Okay, there we go. You'd be attracted to a movie with your name in it.
My granddad liked it, and it has Luke in it, so.
Yeah, I got on Blu-ray last month for like $2. That was nice. Peter Vollmer was played by Dennis Hopper, who is an absolute psychotic legend of film. He's already rolled with James Dean at this point in Rebel Without a Cause and Giant. And, of course, we can just go on after 1963.
I was really surprised. Obviously, I read Dennis Hopper's wiki after watching this. Because for me, he just showed up in the 90s and started playing villains.
No.
Like a super career as like a young hot guy.
Oh, yeah. Easy Rider, Apocalypse Now, Blue Velvet. And then I guess you're catching up with Speed, you know, Choose Your Lane, yeah. And keep it over 50
That's it.
miles
It's
an hour.
Speed and Super Mario Brothers is my Dennis Hopper.
So, I shouldn't forget about that. I guess I'm thinking about Bob Hoskins first when I think about that. So, Ludwig Donath played Ernest Gantz. He hailed from Austria and thrived in Hollywood as a character actor in the 1940s. Ironically, one of those roles was as Adolf Hitler in 1942's The Strange Death of Adolf Hitler. We are catching him here in a handful of late life TV guest spots. I guess he just wanted to get out of the house occasionally. Kurt
Cooler.
Conway is our Hitler du jour. His bread and butter was on Broadway, but like Donath, he racked up a few character credits in the 40s. It seems that this is his only time as Der Fuhrer.
I was going to ask, because often you'll find a guy like this and he's just played like, Thomas Jefferson 20 times or something.
I checked, yeah, because I was like, well, he's good enough. He could be that guy, but yeah, he's not that guy. I specifically did a little look-see for that, so maybe it takes that, maybe it took it out of him. I didn't want to do it again. Also,
I mean, I'd imagine it does get to you a bit playing of Hitler.
I guess he was on the older range of being able to play Hitler at this point, because he's supposed to be, I guess, end of life Hitler, but yeah. So he wouldn't have had too many more squibs in the tank anyway. You said you got that prologue ready to roll?
Portrait of a Bush League Führer named Peter Vollmer, a sparse little man who feeds off his self-delusions and find himself perpetually hungry for want of greatness in his diet. Unlike some goose-stepping predecessors, he searches for something to explain his hunger and to rationalize why a world passes him by without saluting. That something he looks for and finds is in a sewer. In his own twisted and distorted lexicon, he calls it faith, strength, truth. But in just a moment, Peter Vollmer will ply his trade on another kind of corner, a strange intersection in a shadowland called the Twilight Zone.
All right. I thought you might keep it Germanic. You didn't have to, of course, but.
I'd already did the Hitler impression when I was shouting at you about to talk good, so
Oh, right. Okay.
I
Sure.
didn't want to do it for that as well.
No repeats. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I guess it's a street corner here, and now it's X. Do we have to have a fish? Can I just. I could say Twitter still, can I?
I still say to
Still
I
Twitter on
want to
my
punch
phone.
anyone who says X.
No, and I've noticed
It's
a few
embarrassing.
places have finally stopped saying the site formerly known as Twitter, like it's Prince or something, and just are now calling it X. So I'm like,
Oh well,
yeah.
bootlickers.
But yeah, I guess that is the current street corner, which is, you could say this episode is very dated because of the technology, or say it's not dated because this is happening
I think
every
it's
day.
not dated in the sense of what it's talking about. Like, it's not just street. Like, there is people do go and do talks and stuff still.
Yeah, true. I guess living in Japan, we don't get it. Oh, go ahead.
The aspect to me that feels dated is that it has that very 60s message, right? Of, turn the other cheek. Their only language is violence, but they can't win the real argument or whatever. And the interesting thing, which we talked about when we were talking about the Matrix Revolutions, right, is that the Nazis have co-opted that language. So now it's like we'll say something like the only good Nazi is a dead Nazi. See, they have no arguments for us. Their only recourse is violence. Despite the fact that their entire philosophy is, violence against races of people. They found that they can use that language to be like as just a rhetorical device. So actually the whole like they're violent but we can rise above it thing doesn't really work. If you see a Nazi, punch a Nazi.
I wrote it at the start. It's a great time for tomatoes and punching Nazis. But
Mm-hmm.
then let's look at their flag. Are these the wish.com Nazis? Because clearly they're like, we're starting a new movement. We're not putting swastikas on, which is, I guess, 1963 is the place where you might do that, because now it's like, no, it's make it obvious,
No, they still use a lot of dog whistles, and you don't necessarily have actual swastikas that often.
Yeah, or something
They'd
a little
always
more
have their own
modified,
bullshit
like
little.
the two X's on Charlie Chaplin's
I think
dictator.
the logo here probably is more like what a real, like modern, like fascist group would do. Like what they would start with. I'm sure they have swastikas at home.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what the Proud Boys icon is,
I mean, me
fortunately.
neither, and happy not to, but
Yeah, I'm sitting here like, gee, I'm glad I don't know what their imagery is at all. But again, that's a perk of living in Japan.
yeah.
In Japan, I maybe it's because I don't live in the city anymore, but have you seen the black vans that like
Yeah,
to,
I still see her, like once or twice a year,
yeah, the
just cruising
Ultra.
around and playing nationalist songs or whatever.
Yeah, and screaming on the corner. So I guess in Japan we still do have that, although I think people generally just ignore them. They certainly don't engage with them. I guess the engaging's a little weird. That's just dramatic. That's for, and then reality, people just walk by. Well, no, they don't just walk by that stuff. That's the point of the episode, isn't it? But in my experience, maybe it's living in Japan, I don't know, where, there's not as many demonstrations and protests, although you stumble upon them. Nagano
I
has
see a
some
lot of
right now.
protests, but not in this direction. I've been seeing a lot of Free Palestine protests and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Right. So yeah, again, I'm walking through rice fields most of the time, so they don't hold. Although there was a few years ago where they're having a demonstrate an anti-nuke demonstration at the 7-Eleven near my house. That was weird because there's.
Nice. Yeah, I like I it amuses me when I'm in like Nagano and I see like six old ladies demonstrating something and I'm like, I love the effort, but who are you reaching? What is this achieving? But obviously these days I visit Tokyo like two or three times a month, so I see some actual bigger demonstrations as well.
No, of course, in this episode, I was also stressed out about how he was putting his cello precariously on a chair, but that's just a cello player problem. Like, don't do that. I don't know. I couldn't. No, I couldn't do that. I always put it on its side or something. But yeah, Ernst was interesting because I guess that's also a thing where, the hate monger, Pete in this case, usually has like some connection to the, no, this is the okay one, right? This one guy's okay, it's the rest of the race that sucks.
Well, I think we did talk about I listened to an interview with a guy who he was a member of like a right-wing hate group and he got out and now his specialty is in like deprogramming people essentially. And one of the main ways he does it is he just puts them in a room with a Jew. And it's like, here's the person you think you hate. Spend 20 minutes with them and realize they're a human being. Like,
Well, it didn't work for this guy. He spent a large chunk of his life with this guy and still doesn't get it. I mean, he gets the one guy, of course, but he well, he kills him anyway, doesn't he? Because Adolf Hitler tells him to.
But I mean that was for the drama,
Well, of course it was,
And
but
maybe I might have preferred the ending where like Hitler tells him to kill his friend, he goes, he can't do it, and he just goes back and shoots Hitler in the face. But
yeah.
obviously they wanted to do that sort of he gets his comeuppance, kind of ending, which I respect.
I mean, anything episode that ends with your Nazi dying in a pool of his own blood is, you can't argue it too hard.
Yeah, crying like, no, I'm made of steel.
Just keep
Good
telling
stuff.
yourself that. I mean,
Kind of a tangent, but what I love about Hopper's performance here and just this whole character is he is very pitiable and you can almost sympathize for him. But then he never lets it go too long before reminding you, like, no, I'm a Nazi. You shouldn't sympathize with me.
Well, some very good writing and some very good shorthand is in the first scene with Ernst. Ernst is like, that's the boy inside of you talking
Yeah,
the whole time.
yeah,
And then from then on, you can easily see the moments in the episode when the boy is talking and when the hate monger is talking. I mean,
yeah.
even
His
beyond
idea of
just,
what a man is, yeah.
yeah. And sometimes when he's trying to balance the two and where he's trying to act like a human but be a hate monger, which doesn't work because you can't really do that properly, So, like, oh, I wrote down a few of his quotes. Well, one of his quotes, I did find, it's not hate, it's a point of view, it's a philosophy. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, but that again, that's all so real for like what modern Nazis are like. Like, it's just an opinion. Why can't we be civil about it? That sort of shit. And it's like, because your opinion is that some people don't deserve human rights. It's
Again,
like,
it's not hate, it's a point of view, it's a philosophy. I'm pretty sure that I saw J.K. Rowling tweet that, like, within the past 3 days, because for some reason, the notifications on my phone want to show me J.K. Rowling, even though I've never even looked up her up or liked or followed.
oh, yeah. I've got her blocked on like every Twitter account I have.
I
And
guess
the
I'm.
name muted because I don't even want other people talking about her.
For some reason, I
Don't
think
feed
I
her.
did follow him. So, but Roger McGuinn of the Birds, I also get a bunch of his tweets for some reason, like
Yeah,
highlighted.
if you don't engage with Twitter, it decides to just notify you just about, like, not things that it should notify you about, just this person tweeted this. It's like, great, thanks.
Yeah,
If I wanted to see that, I'd be on Twitter.
the only Twitter I go to intentionally is to look up photos from, podcasts I listen to, right? Like, because you're listening to something, like, we'll post it to the Twitter, so you check there.
Yeah.
So dramatically, sizzle, sizzle, you want things cool on screen, it's Adolf Hitler. This character would have made a lot more sense if it were Goebbels, I think.
Yeah, but of course, that's yeah, but you're right. You that doesn't work as well.
Because Hitler was not this sharp at all. I mean, there's nothing.
No. Hit that like Hitler had Goebbels doing this role.
Right, that's right. Like, Goebbels knew this stuff. Hitler didn't know this stuff. And yeah,
He needs garbage.
are you you're pro you probably know this, that there's only like one or two recordings of Hitler speaking in a normal tone of voice.
Yeah.
And when you listen, that's pretty bizarre. I mean, to hear, but I mean, of course, it makes sense because you can't spend your whole life screaming unless you're Martin Landau, but or Patrick McGoohan. But
Yeah, no, yeah, but yeah, he was just an embarrassing little man. But they made him
yeah.
into this character.
And then the last I went on a thing last year. If you try looking up what is the last photo of him, it's that's kind of difficult too, because obviously they weren't having photo shoots in the bunker, right? So
Yeah, when he's off his nuts on meth.
right, that's the thing. In the last 6 months, the dude like aged like 50 years,
He looks like an extra from Breaking Bad at that point.
So it's almost like this, again,
Looks
it's
like
shorthand,
Spooge.
it's broad strokes for primetime TV, but it's like they're giving him like too much agency in this episode. But that's also hindsight, I guess. I mean,
Yeah, and it, you know, it's you could very easily have the like this could very easily read as that's not a ghost, that's just all in his head.
well, I assume it is all in his head, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. So like that his image of Hitler is that Hitler's this incredible orator, right? And this genius, so he's created this version of Hitler to help himself be that person.
Yeah, I honestly I didn't really take. I guess it's the Twilight Zone, so I guess you're supernaturally supposed to be like, okay, that is Hitler's ghost, but I do think it's a lot more interesting than just this guy's psychosis.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if Trump regularly plays this episode for inspiration, because yeah,
No,
so,
I don't think Trump is self-aware enough to think of himself as a Nazi.
yeah.
Trump, what we're talking about with Hitler being like he's not actually the genius, he was just like a puppet. That's what Trump is in a way, because Trump doesn't believe or think anything.
Right,
He
I guess.
says what he needs to say to a specific crowd to get them to vote for him.
Yes.
That's why I remember in the early days, right, before he'd actually won, there were times where I would see like a quote for him and I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I kind of agree with Trump more than Hillary. But it's like, I don't actually know what Trump believes or thinks. He just said this one quote because I guess he was talking to someone with a slightly more liberal bias.
Also, let's keep, giving America choices of people they don't want, yeah.
Yeah, Trump or Biden. And then in 4 years, Trump or
Again.
Biden. And then in 4 years,
Although
well, neither of them's done 2 terms yet, so Trump or Biden three.
now you're coming up with one of my notes, because Pete in here is very much like, we believe this, you need to believe something. And I'm thinking, enlightened people don't believe anything, But I
I
guess.
you know I don't necessarily agree with your don't believe anything philosophy.
Well, you can know a few things and you can just roll with the rest. But I guess the what I was saying, because you were kind of saying that about Trump, right? Where that sounds bad. But I guess the other point on that is you don't believe anything, but you do no harm as much as possible as well, which.
I think you can believe a moral position, but you have to try to get your facts. You can't believe something is true in like a literal sense, like, oh, I just believe this ethnic group is behind it, and I'm not going to let that be challenged by science.
Well,
But
the
you can
golden
believe this is
rule
right and this
was,
is wrong and this is
I
the right
mean,
approach.
you don't have to believe in the golden rule to, just follow it. And you realize your life is better when you do that. But then if you do horrible things and things are building up, you got a theater, hit the ghost of Hitler just gave you some money, maybe that kind of blows that out of the water. Okay, I guess it did have to be the ghost of Hitler because he gave him money. 200 bucks. That's a lot in 1963.
That's a point actually. Yeah, the money had to come from somewhere. But again, like if we wanted to do like a psychosis read of it, like he could have just stolen that money, but he didn't want to admit that to himself.
Yeah, but it's all in the same scene. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It could just be like we're seeing like his point of view, his philosophy. It's not hate. Sorry, I used the quote again. This is a nice early, I think, setting. Now that we're watching concurrently, we're watching The Bad Wicker Man with Nick Cage. And I was like, this is kind of an early version of like the just unhinged Nick Cage crazy sort of performance, with Hopper being the OG in this case, Have you seen Blue Velvet?
I don't know if I have actually. That's
David Lynch,
David Lynch,
starring Comic Lawton, Dennis Hopper, Isabel Rossellini. Anyway, if nothing
I
else,
saw
let's go.
it. I saw when I was looking at Hopper's career, I saw it come up, and I was like, oh, I didn't know he was in that.
It's a great movie. I highly recommend watching the movie. But if nothing else, get on YouTube and watch the clips of Dennis Hopper as Frank.
Okay.
You don't even need the context that
No,
much.
I've got a feeling that eventually Blue Velvet is going to end up on one of our podcasts when it's your choice. So I'm not too worried about watching it on my own right now.
Sometimes I this kind of dovetails with the Fight Club thing, and Fight Club was weird because we as that movie gets older, it just when I first saw it, it didn't appear to me as fascist at all, I guess because it was supposed to be like young and hip, right? And we're just punching each other. But then I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is, his name was Nick Bloss, Everyone needs a martyr, that sort of thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm just wondering where 20-year-old Matt didn't catch it.
Well, it's like for a young, angry man, like the tenets of fascism do seem kind of appealing, right? It's like, hey, there's an enemy we can fight, and then we can be strong men who protected our family.
I mean, I guess that's why we not. I mean, not to slam the military. Well, okay, I'll slam the military. Why not?
Yeah,
That's why you
do
get
go ahead.
18-year-olds into the military,
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Well, we'll get to Save a Private Ryan, but the whole thing, which I haven't seen since like 1998 or whatever. But I do remember Tom Hanks, and yeah, I was a teacher. I got drafted. I'm like already 40. What's going on here? Oh, I think you got the very tail end of my throat clearing. Okay.
No, I wasn't quite sure where you were going with that point, so I didn't have a response.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not 100% sure I did either. It's just that bopped through my head while I was watching this,
Yeah, but I guess your point was that like Tom Hanks being slightly older than the other soldiers, he was less oorah about it, right?
Let's
It's a young man's game to
program,
be
but
like,
he's still going through D-Day. It's not, yeah.
But throughout that film, right, he's not really down on the idea of let's all throw our lives away in the way that
Where
some of
other
the
people will
others are.
be more gung-ho. Like, again, Changing the Guard is an episode of The Twilight Zone that people really like and just didn't sit well with me because, again, it's like, oh, the teacher inspired a bunch of guys to die horrible deaths while thinking of poetry. That's great.
Yeah, pretty all of them basically was like, oh, thanks, Teach. I went and died in this war, thanks to you. And
While
I went and
thinking of
died in this
Wadsworth.
war, thanks to you. At least one of them died like rescuing someone at least, but
They weren't 100% war deaths. Oh, one of them like died of radiation poisoning or something, trying to find a
oh,
cure
trying
or
to cure
something.
cancer.
Yeah, so, and of course it had to be ghosts in that episode. I understand. He probably has lots of living students who also could have complimented him, but yeah, that's yeah, just that was one Twilight Zone where I just felt like I feel different about this episode than pretty much everybody else does, I think.
Oh, I think most people maybe would agree with you now, But when it came out, it was probably considered quite beautiful.
Yeah,
And
it seems.
I can still see like a romance, right? In like I love samurai and samurai fiction. I can see that romance in dying for a cause and that sort of thing. But I don't think it's like a belief system that we should be encouraging now. It's great in fiction and fantasy and if a cause célèbre is does present itself, but it's not something we should be chasing. I don't think there's any romance or heroism in dying for like an oil company's bottom line, which
No,
is
no.
what most young men are doing today.
I mean, I guess I'm just like in a war, I just fire off in the distance probably, and then the sergeant would put a bullet in the back of my head for cowardice or something, Paths of Glory style. We used to watch that.
There was a line in The Godfather that really surprised me, but also now I kind of get where he's like, and he's making fun of the brother who was in the war because he says like, "Oh, I'll go and kill this guy," and he's like, "This ain't like in the war where you shoot at someone a mile away,"
Oh yeah, face to face. I mean,
and it is a different thing.
what there's the Stalin line, right? What is it? One death is a tragedy, a million deaths is
A
why don't
statistic,
a
yeah.
statistic, yes. So, it's also, it's a of course war is basically just legalized murder. And until you're the losing team, and then you get war crimes, of course, even though
Yeah.
everybody was committing the war crimes the whole
Well, yeah, that
time.
was I think the submarine guy in World War II, who was the Fuhrer for like a day, the Fuhrer after Hitler.
Right.
His he didn't get try and he didn't get what's the word? He didn't get
Nuremberg.
sentenced for his war crimes. He got accused, but he was acquitted. Because his argument was, look, every single thing you're accusing me of, the Americans did too. I just lost. Which I think was a valid response in that case.
The movie recently, Maestro. The Bradley Cooper thing. There's one line in there that was also bopping in my head. Something that Ernst could have was basically saying. He's I guess he's our Jiminy Cricket, and Dennis Hopper's our Pinocchio. But just the idea you have, the directly telling someone you have hate in your heart. So I thought that was a good scene for that without quite that line. The maestro made me crystallize that into a great one-liner, but.
But like, yeah, they really explored here how hate comes from like basically just fear from being a scared little boy. You grow up into these hateful, bitter men. I think it showed that really well.
Well, I guess we'll toss a few questions on this one. So the first, of course, being who in this episode, if anyone, went into the Twilight Zone.
Guess it can only be Pete.
Yeah, and I guess I'm willing to change my platform since Hitler gave him money. I guess that maybe was Hitler's ghost. And it's a
Yeah.
Twilight Zone, so it just seems smarter to assume it is Hitler's ghost, and
Oh yeah,
this is.
the only reason I was sort of suggesting the whole it was a Hitler in his head thing is just because of how unlike the real Hitler that was.
Yes. I mean, that helps. It is,
But
like on
maybe
Star Trek,
Hitler's
holodeck historical figures are like, well, that can't actually be accurate, can they? I mean, even in universe,
Yeah.
they don't know what Leonardo da Vinci looks like, but they can, put Sala in his role, and it's cool. So yeah, it is him. How about Ernst? Because he encounters dealing with this guy. I guess he doesn't directly know about Hitler, but he does die at the end.
The she unfortunately Ernst was living in a very, very real world.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. A little too real. So I guess this is an interesting. Well, Pete, does he deserve his dying in cold blood? You wanted to see him make a different choice, of course, which he did
He
not
didn't make
make.
that choice, so yeah, he deserves to get shot and killed.
Yeah.
The only good Nazi is a dead Nazi. And Stroheim from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Right. We'll tripometer it then. Sounds, numbers, whatever you feel like doing.
One of those interesting ones where it's either a zero or a five. Because I think you could argue there's zero tripometer. This is the real world. Apart from the fact that he has Hitler's ghost giving him advice, the story that plays out here has played out over and over since the 30s. And Sometimes there are people there to punch them down, and sometimes people are scared enough and desperate enough to listen to them.
This that the that take came up for Death's Head Revisited, where it was also like this is either a zero or a one, right? Although now
And
that you're
Monsters
saying
of
it,
Jordan Maple Street as well, I think you gave that one a the 0 or 5.
no, we gave it opposite scores on that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's you can either say it's a 0 or a 5 because it's either trippy because it's so accurate, or it's not trippy because it's so real.
Well, I'm taking the Death's Head thing. Almost saying it's a zero, adding 0.5 because I don't think it's quite, not, I mean, Dennis Hopper is great, but the episode as a whole is not quite as much of a depth charge, I think. And that's not a slam against this episode. It doesn't need to be, but Death's Head Revisited just has that extra
Oh yeah,
resonance.
because that gets into the bleakness of what they actually did,
Right,
rather than just
right.
talking about like the philosophy.
Right. But I am thinking, and that one was trippy and reality bending, so that's why it could have been a five. This one, I don't think I'd ever give this one a five.
Yeah, I think this one is a pure like 0 or 1.
I'm gonna bump it up to 0.5 just because of his giant photo that he speaks behind. I
Oh,
just
you're
thought
thinking like a
that's
trippy visual?
yeah, I thought his
I
stage
did. I think
was
actually,
trippy.
considering they were doing it purely with lighting and no visual effect, the silhouette effect worked pretty well.
And
Apart
anyway,
from that, in HD, you can sometimes see his mustache.
I mean, I just have, that theater stage I thought was trippy effective, and that giant photo of him was funny. And also his head, his th he was breaking like North Korean rules or something. Well, one, you couldn't see his feet, but his head was bigger than the Frewer's, which I thought was maybe not okay in his situation.
Yeah, but they're not. They're trying to be like, oh, we're taking the legacy of the Nazis, but we're our own new
That
American
is
party.
true. I mean,
So,
I am being slightly snarky and saying that, of course, but
but the other big irony is the thing that this gets quite wrong. Modern, like American Nazis, would never use Hitler imagery because they're playing on American nationalism, and yeah, we beat the Nazis, we beat the Germans is a big part of that, right? So, like, they're straight up repackaging Hitler's beliefs and rhetoric and everything, whilst accusing the other side of having Nazis, because they couldn't possibly be Nazis. They're patriotic Americans. Like, well, QAnon loves to imply that Angela Merkel is Hitler's granddaughter.
and what if she is?
Yeah.
You could be Hitler's granddaughter. You might be, hell, if you'd cover it up if you knew about it. That is an interesting thought, though, being the offspring or descendant of a monster. I mean, that shouldn't have any bearing on you, should
Well, that's just the plot of The Rise of Skywalker.
it? Oh no. Maybe they can make a better movie about that. See, I've forgotten everything about the Rise of Skywalker. Except the dead speak. I remember that the dead speak.
I
But you don't know
remember
why unless you play
somehow
Fortnite.
Palpatine came back.
I know I've said before, but that movie would instantly go from like my not tripometer, but my quality level 1 to 5 if it just had the cut scene at the end where you hear the Emperor cackling at the end because he's back again.
Yeah.
That almost would say that would have made it like a great Star Wars parody, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've talked. One day maybe I'll watch that movie again just out of like weird curiosity. But yeah, I'm probably more
I
likely
feel
to
like one
watch.
day we'll have to do a revisit of the podcast episode on it.
Is He's Alive an episode of The Twilight Zone you'd watch a few times? I was about to say, oh, I'd watch this sooner, but I was like, actually, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably put it on a different episode. I don't know. I guess you'd come back for Hopper's performance.
The Hopper's performance is great. It's not one that I would watch just for fun, but I could imagine myself like putting this on for someone.
Right.
Because I think it does a really good job of what it's doing here.
I'm
It's
trying
also
to.
like I'm always more likely to put on a 20-minute Twilight Zone than a 40-minute Twilight Zone.
I think that is a pretty notable thing there. Season 4 is just you don't grab for that one very often because it's like, hey, Twilight
Like
Zone, I got 30 minutes. Let's blast it out.
You guys talk about like the New Year's marathons and stuff that you have on TV channels in the States. How often are they putting season four in those?
Not much.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But this is one like you said, this one actually would have been too compressed and broad as a 25-minute episode. So this is one that, gets to breathe a little bit and works as this. This is,
Yeah, it works as a slightly longer character study, which is what it's meant to be.
I mean, the 50s Rod Serling was doing like the Playhouse stuff for TV. So just take the
Yeah.
ghost of Adolf Hitler out. You have that basically, and that slight, I mean, it really is a slight supernatural element in the end, because you could have had most of the story without that easily, or you could have just made it specifically like we all know this is in his head, and then it's not supernatural anymore. But but I definitely don't know if it could. I don't think it could have been a movie length, but then again, when you have Hopper like on fire, maybe you could. I'm
Well,
trying to think of.
you would have fleshed out the other characters in his little posse and stuff a little more,
Yeah.
made the story of the movement slightly more of the story.
I mean, they already gave them a little more breathing room. Like you did get to know a couple of his deputies a little bit,
Yeah,
which more
they
than you
probably wouldn't
would
even
in
have
a.
been named roles if this was a 20-minute Twilight Zone.
Exactly. Yes. Oh yeah, it was Dennis Hopper. I just want to see if have you seen Apocalypse Now?
Not for a very long time, but
Okay.
yeah.
He's the photographer that's like the fanboy of Colonel Kurtz
Okay.
when they get to the end goal.
Is Apocalypse Now on the good list?
I think so.
Seems like it would be.
Seems like it would be, but
I
it's on
think
my good
almost the
list.
whole Kubrick oeuvre is, right?
Oh, that's a Coppola, but yes,
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
both of them. I think it's like, well, Coppola gets in the weeds eventually, right? But although some of those, he makes like The Rainmaker, which is a really good movie. It's just not like it doesn't feel like an ultra classic, even though it is directed by Coppola. So, any final thunks you want to thought on He's Alive?
Yeah, the goddamn Twilight Zone's gone woke. The wokes
Mm.
have gone to it.
There was, oh, when he was talking, no, oh, because he, Pete was talking about being woke, and I was about to write a joke note, and I was like, wait, actually, that doesn't make sense if he's saying he's woke. So I skipped it, and I guess you found a place to put it, so that's cool.
Yep.
Well, cranking out for today, we do lots of podcasting on Patreon. We're Podcastio Podcastius, Time Enough Podcast. You get a little early, you get it with a little extra chatter sometimes. Luke and I do Films and Filth, where we do cover half the other movies we've been talking about during this episode. So you
The
can.
top 100 and bottom 100 films as rated by users of IMDb.
Get them a little down deep. We got Podcast 1999, which covers Space 1999. And Luke's got some gamer stuff.
Yep, you can listen to Luke Loves Pokemon, where I talk about different Pokemon family every week. There's like 400 or 500 episodes of that for you to enjoy, and they're like 5 minutes long. So just if you're someone like me who puts your podcast in a playlist, do you do that, Matt, or do you just like pick the next one manually?
I'm a manual man, and
Now, I'm always
I'll
a
listen.
playlist guy, so for me, a podcast like that's like 5 minutes long, I just slip it in between episodes.
Ah, okay.
Ideal.
No, I'm a scattershot listener. I'll listen to 20 minutes of one podcast and then listen to another. Depending on where I'm walking, we've talked about before, I'm like, if I'm in this area, I'm usually listening to this podcast. So
Okay, no, that's maniac behavior. I don't
it
do
is,
that.
yeah. So I do that. That's lawnmower man behavior, where he's I've been accused of that. Well, Andrew has accused me of that many times. And Lawnmower Man, once he's gotten super smart, he's like, "Oh, you like music? Here's a classical. Oh, you like that?" And they takes it off and puts something else on, which I would do to people in high school.
That is what you're like, actually. Like you, most of the films we watch, you're watching them in like three or four sittings.
Right. But hey, I found that that's like my subconscious rating for the film sometimes. I mean, Twilight
Yeah,
Zones, I
yeah, yeah. If
always watch
you
straight
really like
through.
it, you'll find yourself watching it in one go.
Yeah, because we recently did the bad Dungeons and Dragons, and I watched the quote the good one. Yeah, the good one. I liked it. I bought it on Blu-ray before the movie was over. but yeah, the 2000 Dungeons and Dragons, three sittings. The longer, newer one sitting, because it was good. So I found that's kind of like a bit of a, well,
Yeah.
and or sometimes like a late night movie. Like I watched Blade Runner 2049 49. That probably took like 10 times because I put it on, like, fall asleep within 5 minutes, just because it was late at night.
But also because it's like a music video full of vibes.
Yeah, it's a vibe movie too. So
That's an IMAX movie. You missed out.
yeah, who? Well, I haven't been to
Anyway,
an
we're still talking
IMAX.
about Luke Loves Pokemon. There's also Hyrule Field Report, a deep dive into Tears of the Kingdom, which, as this comes out, is pretty much wrapping up. So if you played through Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, or you're currently playing through it, you want to relive it, go and check out that podcast. It's 50 hours of some guys chatting about every little area of that game. So yeah, if you wanted to have that experience of playing it with friends, but no one you knew was playing it, then just play through it and listen to the podcast episodes as you get to each area. And finally, there's the Game Show. No one listens to that, but it's amazing. It's four British guys shouting at each other, as Matt likes to describe it. It's a game show about games in the style of British comedy panel shows. Don't worry if you know nothing about games. That's not required for entry.
I don't know that much, and I've been on a few, haven't I?
And listen to more.
Okay. Well, guess I'm gonna, you know, no, actually, I can say something classy. I could be like, I'm gonna go play the cello now, like Ernst. I don't have to do a rally.
I'm gonna go lift weights to become a strong Aryan Superman.
Type of bird. His mouth was glinting